Our second question, and I have reworded this to be a little bit more grammatically correct. The way it was worded was a little interesting. But basically, the question was this. Why can't women be preachers? And you know, that's a question that sometimes our young people ask. They want to know why women can't be preachers. They see men leading in the Lord's Supper and prayer and in preaching as well. And our young ladies, our young girls, you know, want to know why there's no women up here doing the things that the men are doing. And that's a good question. And the Bible answers that question for us, just like it answers the question about baptism. And so we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about that. You know, in our culture today, women are encouraged to do everything that men do, and even more so in the way things have been going lately with different agendas being pushed on our culture by the left. But let's just look at what the Bible has to say about this. And we want to look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to open with that. And so if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 so that you can see what is written about this topic. And it starts in verse 8. And we're just going to read those verses together, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 8 through 15. So listen to what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says, I desire therefore that the men, and this word men here is not the generic word for mankind or something like that. It is the word for males. It is the Greek word andros, which means males. I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now look at verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Well, the context of these verses is that Paul is writing to Timothy to instruct him on how men ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us that. That is Paul's purpose here. And so he writes about many things. He writes about elders and deacons. He writes about widows in chapter 5. He writes about the rich in chapter 6. He writes about the doctrine of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, he is writing about men's and women's roles in the church, and particularly in public worship, because of that mention that he has in verse 8, that men pray, notice, everywhere. That is, in the idea is that everywhere, in public, private, men are to be the leaders, the spiritual leaders, and they are to have leadership in prayer. And then he comes down and he mentions the restrictions on women, that they are to learn in silence with all submission, and they are not permitted to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And that's not a very popular message today in the world, where the culture is desiring to make men and women equivalent in just about every single aspect of life, and even to blur the differences between men and women by pushing the idea that a person can be whatever gender that he or she desires to be. And that is, of course, a lie, and it is not what God did. It's not what God created. And not only is that a lie, but it's also a lie that God did not make differences between men and women. There are differences between men and women, and that's obvious to any rational human being who hasn't been indoctrinated by the false teaching that the left in our country is engaging in. And I don't want to go into all of that in detail, but let's look at what the scriptures have to say. So several things are addressed in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 8 through 15. And first of all, there, men are to be the ones who pray publicly. Verse 8 mentions that. Women are to learn in quietness, and they're forbidden to teach or have dominion. And this is not talking about private teaching, but public teaching. And the assembly of the church is what's being discussed. Another passage that discusses this, just in case you think, well, this is just one verse, and let's, you know, are there any other verses that discuss that? Yes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33 through 35. Here's another place that Paul mentions this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 33 through 35. Notice what he says. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And some translations will put this phrase, as in all the churches of the saints, with the next verse in a paragraph form. And then verse 34 says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be in submission, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in the church. And so the idea here is that Paul taught this in all the churches, wherever he went. And some have recently suggested that what Paul was saying was just a cultural thing, that in that culture, women were not to speak, but in other cultures it would be okay. Well, no, that's not what he's saying. He says in all churches, not just in the church at Corinth, but in the church at Ephesus as well, in the church at Jerusalem, in the church in Rome, everywhere the church is, they were to keep silence, is what he's saying. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he goes back to the creation as the reason for why this is the case. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And then he talks about Adam and Eve, and Eve was deceived by the serpent. And so these reasons are given. So they're not just cultural reasons. They're creation reasons. They're reasons that God has established in the natural order of the world. Another passage that gives sort of the rationale behind this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And Paul writes in this verse, he says this, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So there's an order of authority in the creation. First of all, there is God, the Father. And below that, there is Jesus Christ. And under Jesus Christ, there are men. And then under men, there are women. And that's the order of authority that Paul gives here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And so it's this order of authority. Now, this does not have anything to say about the value of men and women, just as it doesn't have anything to say about the value of the Father and of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ equal in value to the Father? Well, of course he is. Of course he is. But there's still an order of authority there. The Father is the one who commands. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, follows the commands of the Father, and he submits to the Father. And so also men are to submit to Jesus Christ as our head, the authority in the church. And then women are to submit to men as their head, their authority in the family and in the church. And so that's what this passage is talking about. It's not talking about value. It's not saying that men are more valuable than women or something like that. It's not teaching that. It's simply setting forth an authority structure that God has in place. And so that's sort of the rationale behind this. God has this authority structure. He wants it to be respected, just as children are to be in submission to their parents. Parents have authority over their children. And so these authority structures are in place so that we will have harmonious relationships with one another in the world. when these authority structures are not observed, when they're not practiced, there is disharmonious relationships in the world. And all kinds of wickedness and evil springs up, as we can see in our very day and age. It goes back to respecting the way God created things and doing things according to His plan and His pattern and His purpose. And when we don't do that, we go very far astray and things get wildly out of control. And people start telling tremendous lies to children and to others to justify their own wickedness. That's really what it's about. And we've got to oppose that kind of thing. And we've got to stand against it as we stand up for what the Word of God says and what the Word of God teaches. Now, let me just say one more thing about this in regard to women's roles, and that is also, it is also the case that God appointed men to be elders and deacons in the church. And there are some churches today who are appointing women elders and women deacons. But one of the qualifications of elders and deacons is that they are to be the husband of one wife. And so that just can't happen. If a person is a female, she cannot be the husband of one wife by definition. And I know society and culture is trying to change that today with redefining what the word husband and wife means in various different circumstances and contexts. But the Bible, but we know what a husband is. We know what a wife is. Those definitions are not unclear. They're very understandable. And we've got to stand up for what the Bible says about that as well. So, This is what the Bible teaches. Now, it's not a popular message. I will agree to that. But it is God's message, and we've got to stand up for God's message and say what the Bible says on these matters. And so that's what the Bible has to say about the question, you know, why can't women be preachers? And it's a question that I understand many are asking, and that many are interested in, and there's other things that women cannot do in the church as well, as far as being elders and deacons and that those kinds of things. And why is that? Because that's the way God made things, and we've got to respect God's creation. When we stop respecting God's creation, then everything is up for grabs. Anything can be done. It doesn't. We could put a dog in as an elder, for that matter. If we stop respecting God's creation, why wouldn't we do that? There's probably some people in the world today who probably are already thinking along those lines, the way that animals are being compared to people nowadays, and such silliness and nonsense such as that. We need to shun all of that stuff. We need to put it aside. Don't buy into those lies that the world is telling us in that regard, and believe what the Bible has to say. Believe the way that God created us, and do things the way that God wants us to do it. Well, and that's why we talk about these things, because we want to know what the Word of God has to say about it, not what men's opinions are, but what the Bible says, what God's Word says. And when we listen to the Word of God and we know what God wants from us, then we can respond in our lives in the way that God wants us to respond, and we can be pleasing to the Lord that way. That's what our desire is to do what He wants us to do about these things. Satan comes in, and he can manipulate and change and deceive and put things in such a way so it makes it sound awfully good, you know. And when there's a lot of cultural pressure being brought to bear upon the Lord's church, you know, many churches will succumb to that, unfortunately, but we should not. We should stay true to what the Word of God teaches. Whether it's baptism, whether it's the role of women in the church, whatever it might be, we've got to stay true to the Word of God. And if we're not doing that, we might as well just stop doing whatever it is we're doing. We just go do whatever you want to do. There's no point in doing anything if we're not going to do it the way that God wants to do it. Because then it's just all about what I want, or what you want, or what man wants. And whatever that is, it's not what God wants. And if that's the direction we're going to go in, there's no reason to even be here, for that matter, because it's just whatever we want at that point. But that's not what you want, and that's not what I want. We want what God wants. And wanting what God wants is what we ought to do within our life. And when we do what God wants to do, wants us to do, then we can be pleasing to Him. It's not about self. It's not about humanity. It's about God. And so let's resolve that we're going to do what God wants us to do, whatever it might be. And this evening, if you want to do that, you can become a child of God tonight through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That's the first thing you can do, to do what God wants you to do. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church in regard to these matters and want to ask for those prayers. Well, tonight, you can ask for those prayers as well. Whatever your need may be, you can come and make it known now while together we stand and while we sing.